This episode of the Bamboo Pastors Podcast has been brought to you by Resource Global. Resource Global is an organization whose mission is to teach, mentor, and connect emerging Christian marketplace leaders around the world so that they can renew their workplaces and cities for the gospel. From Jakarta to Singapore, from Nairobi to Johannesburg, and from Austin to cities worldwide, Resource Global is bringing these leaders together to learn from like-minded leaders in their own cities, as well as leaders from around the globe. To find out more about the work of Resource Global, please visit resourceglobal.org.
Welcome to the Bamboo Pastors Podcast, a podcast that explores the joys and challenges of being an English-speaking pastor in a Chinese church. I'm Jalen Chan, and I'm here with my co-host, John Mon.
Hey, everyone.
Together, we host the Bamboo Pastors Podcast. We're glad that you're here with us. Come on in and have a seat at the table.
All right. Welcome back to the Bamboo Pastors Podcast. I am on tonight with my good friend and co-host, Jalen. It's good hanging out with you. How have you been, Jalen? It's been a couple of weeks, I think, actually, since we've recorded.
That's right. Yeah, been doing well. Good to see you as well. Things are going well ministry wise. I don't know if I told you we just recently started a new like men's monthly gathering. And so we've been doing that. This tomorrow will be our second time that we meet. But excited about that. Had a few guys come out and just hang out, pray together, where I'm reading through a book with them, The Measure of a Man by Gene Getz. Really good, really helpful. We're also restarting our adult Sunday school for the English congregation. So before I started at this church, they had already stopped adult Sunday school for a variety of reasons, most of which, you know, our congregation is primarily young families. And so it was hard for people already to kind of bring kids in and have their young kids in a Sunday school class or in a nursery or toddler room while they're doing adult Sunday school. So they cut out Sunday school, and it's been almost 10 years since we've had adult Sunday school. And so now we're restarting that. I'm excited about it. It'll be this Sunday. It definitely means some more work for me, but I'm excited because I think it'll kind of increase our biblical literacy. I'm excited because there's people who really want it. And also we have people who are, you know, in a biracial marriage. And so their spouse comes for the Chinese service and they're just kind of hanging out doing nothing. And so this is an opportunity for them to fellowship and hang out and be with us learning the Bible together. So I'm excited about that. So some really cool things going on with ministry, a lot more work that we need to do with that. Otherwise on the home front, kids are doing fine. I think I told you Jackson had his DC trip and he loved it. He said it was best vacation of his life, even though we went to Hong Kong last summer together. And then he said that was the best vacation of his life. And it's been quickly supplanted by this trip to DC.
A school DC trip. Is that really a vacation though? Isn't that supposed to be an educational trip? Like it's supposed to be learning things, right?
Right. You're right. They probably did like 10 sites a day. Right. So they went to like 30 or 40 sites. So definitely educational. But as he was relaying it, there are certainly like, you know, they're middle school boys, you know, him and his friends, and they're just doing middle school boy things. So in my mind, it's a vacation. Okay. Right. I know they had stuff to do. I know they were going to sites. I know they were doing work. But I'm like, I'm not sure why we paid for this trip. But no, it was good. I think he did learn a lot. He did tell us things that he saw and did. So
that's a good experience. I think we both talked about this on a recording or not, but that neither of us had participated in a trip like that when we were his age.
That's right.
Even though I think both of us, our schools offered it, but I actually, because after we spoke about it last time, I talked to my mom and asked her, oh, how come, you know, like we were talking, why didn't I go on that trip? And she reminded me that it was because she gave me the option of whether I wanted to go or not. And it was basically, you could go on a school trip or you could stay home from school for a week and basically have an actual vacation. And I was like, oh, I'm definitely just staying home from school. So, yeah.
Well, how are you? How's your week been?
Oh, you know, it's been good. Since we last recorded, I did go on a family vacation with my mom and my siblings, and so we were in, on Oahu for a couple of days, like a little bit of a long weekend. And basically the trip was to surprise my mom for her 70th birthday, which
Wow,
is
nice.
I think was a pretty significant milestone. And so our mission was accomplished. My siblings and I worked to keep certain elements of surprise. Basically, just that I was joining them on the trip was the main surprise, because she really thought that I wouldn't be able to go. We're in the middle of retreat and conference stuff going on at church, and so it is actually a very busy time of the year for us. But I was able to make it, or had told her I couldn't make it. Actually, I don't think technically I even really got invited. At least that was the ruse. They just assumed I was gonna be busy. But I went, and when we surprised her, she had no idea. She was shocked, super happy. It was hilarious because she had been talking to my brother when she like rounded a corner and saw me. And then she was so surprised that she immediately just switched to Chinese. And then she forgot all her English in that moment. Yeah, we got the whole thing on video. Had a great time as a family doing, just random family stuff and a little bit of things that everyone enjoys. So yeah, it was
Great.
good.
Yeah, I saw the video on your Instagram. That was a very sweet moment, very cool. But I always ask just because I enjoy eating food, like what was your best bite?
That is a great question, because we ate a lot of food while we were there. So I really liked, we went to a few places that had this, and I think it's like a more traditional Hawaiian dish. It's called squid luau, and I guess it's like bits of squid mixed with taro leaves and coconut. And I don't know why it didn't look the most appetizing, because it's like kind of green and chunky.
Sure.
Almost like a cream spinach consistency,
Okay.
but man, it was good. I don't know how to, it was just very mild seafood flavor, and I kind of
Yeah.
like that. It was delicious. I really liked it.
Nice.
So,
Sounds great. Sounds great. Well, speaking of food, our next guest is someone that we met at a dinner. Our guest is Brady Morishita. He is the English ministry pastor at Oakland Chinese Church in Auburn Hills in Michigan. And John, you and I met Brady at a dinner in Houston when we were down there for the Chinese Heritage Church Collective. We were having pho, and I think this particular pho restaurant was known for, was like a beef, was it beef rib
I
pho?
think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was very excited about it. So I was actually sitting next to Brady. You were on the other side of the table, but you got a chance to meet him as well. And so, Brady, thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging out with us. Sorry we have no pho to share tonight, but at least we can hang out with you and chat over Zoom.
Jalen, I was wondering where you're gonna go with that introduction. You're like, speaking of food, I'm like, man, where's he gonna go with this? But yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Brady, it's good to see you again. If you are ever in the Bay Area, specifically in San Jose, I will take you out to get maybe some of the best pho you've ever had, because that's what this
Love
area is
it.
known for. So
Love it. Let's do
that's been
it.
an open invitation for Jalen, probably any of our former guests too. So, but especially you, since when we first met, we were at the dinner table having that meal. But we love asking our first-time guests to the podcast to just share a little bit of their ministry journey, how you ended up in the role that you're in, a little bit of your calling. So, you mind sharing a bit of that with us and with our guests, with our listeners?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I became a Christian through Crew in college. It would be my senior year that at a Christmas conference with Crew that I felt the Lord's calling to ministry. Really had no idea of what that ministry would be. I thought maybe staff on Crew. So after I graduated, I worked for a couple of years out in the working world. I worked for a company called Manpower, just as a service representative. But I during that time I felt as though whatever I end up doing, I really needed more Bible knowledge. So that's when I applied to go to Trinity. And so I went to seminary. Actually before that, even before I left, I was living in Wisconsin then. Before that, I had gone to teach English in China for a summer. And then in seminary, I met a brother in a kind of a fellowship group, and he was also going to seminary and ministering part-time, and he invited me to run the retreat for the youth. And so I did. And then after that summer, the church invited me to go part-time, and that was Chinese Evangelical Free Church in Arlington Heights. So where you guys are from, in the Chicago area. And then at the end of my seminary, I had told my wife Sarah kind of the churches that I was looking for. So towards the end of my seminary experience, Sarah, my wife, would be looking, she'd be online just looking at different churches. And the church I was with, very small church, very small Cantonese church, and they said, Brady, we'd love to have you come on with us, but we're such a small church, and I was really looking for a full-time ministry. And so, yeah, boy, long story short is this church here in Oakland Chinese Church. It was one of those that my wife put on my desk. At the end of the day, I would sort through different churches and different ministries, and I'd pray about them. And Oakland Chinese Church was one of those churches. And so that was 2006. 2005 is when I was kind of got into a relationship with OCC, and then I started January of 2006.
Yeah, what are you, as you kind of reflect on those past 18 years, what have been some of the joys and challenges of ministry in that particular context in Oakland Chinese Church in Auburn Hills, Michigan? How far are you from Detroit?
We're about 50 minutes drive from Detroit, so we're in a northern suburb, pretty far north. I think that one of the main joys I've had being at OCC, particularly the blessing of being here since 2006, is I've been able to see what God has done in and through some of the youth that I started with back in 2006. Because I think many times, I think teachers and youth pastors, when you're with students, you kind of always think like, what's ever going to become of this student or that student? Like, how will they look? How will they end up? And again, I know their journey is not done. They're not finished. It's just that I now see some of them and they're in their 30s. I've had the opportunity to officiate some of their weddings. Some of them are having kids. So that's been a real blessing because I've seen God's faithfulness in their family. I've seen who they've become. It's been a real blessing. So sometimes I'll get phone calls, or I'll call them and we'll talk, and it'll be students from 10, 12, 15 years ago. Total blessing, like a total blessing. I feel so encouraged after those phone calls. So those are some of the joys, real true joys, true blessings.
I love hearing that. I think especially, having had maybe a similar story in that the first 12 years of ministry for me, I was serving young people, serving youth at a church in Wheaton, and have also been able to walk alongside, some of the students that were in my youth group at one point and then serve alongside them. And now they're a few of them are in ministry, I get to catch up with them as they kind of run into people all over the world. I'm curious, two things. One, how long was it like at your church where you served in youth, and then did you transition from that to like English ministry pastor? That's your current role, or was there something in between? And then what kind of moved you from the youth world into kind of serving the rest of the English or serving in that, because it's not, I think a lot of times people might see that as like a an upwards move, but I think it's more of a lateral one where it's just a different context, really different context. It requires a different in some ways, I think a different skill set, but also different energy levels to maybe a different language. I'm just curious, when did that transition happen for you, and what kind of brought about that switch?
Yeah, good question. The transition has not happened. It's not happened really. I still serve the youth. Our church is pretty small. Yeah, there's in the Detroit area, there's about six Chinese churches in the surrounding suburbs. And yeah, I mean, over the years, let's see. Yeah, I feel like it's actually, I feel like it's one of the challenges, to be honest with you. It's one of the challenges is to kind of go back and forth between the youth ministry and the English ministry. I mean, the blessing is like this Thursday, for example, I've been able to God's allowed me to see some people become Christians and kind of begin the discipleship process for the English ministry. And so some have started a few of them have started a Bible study at their house on Thursdays. So I've been able to go and visit them. Like they've started it, and then I'll just go in and connect with them. So I've seen some people again become believers and then start walking with the Lord and then even start Bible studies. And so now I can just go and encourage them, go and support them, which is where I'd want it to be. I'd want it to be where it's like I'm not always leading, but they're beginning to lead and make disciples, maybe. But it's one of the challenges. I imagine though, maybe those who are listening to this podcast, maybe are on the same spot, could be in the same spot where they're both an English ministry pastor and youth pastor. So today, the students did not have school today because it's voting. So I had a high school group over in the morning at my house, and then a small group of middle school girls in the afternoon, and then middle school guys. I just got just left them like an hour ago.
Oh man.
So it was a full day. It was a full day, but so it is going back and forth between the two and switching back and forth. I do feel sometimes I do feel spread out. It's just how it is. I feel that's my honest feeling. I feel spread thin sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's probably a lot of Chinese heritage churches with English ministries that are like that, right? That are working through that dynamic and trying to make that transition and working with so many youth, but also, young adults and adults, and it's a challenge. So, thanks even for joining us today after such a busy, you must be exhausted. So thanks for hanging out with us. Yeah.
No, it's a real joy.
Yeah. And as you said, like, you might feel like you're kind of spread thin, and it doesn't necessarily give you a lot of time to connect with other pastors, I would imagine. And as you said, six Chinese heritage churches or so in the area. One of the things that I really appreciate is, when we met you, it was at the CHC Collective, the Chinese Heritage Church Collective, and that was an opportunity for us to really connect and engage with other ministry leaders and just be refreshed in that time of fellowship. And so I think one of the outcomes of that CHC collective was, okay, what's next? Like, what are we going to do going forward from here? And I think sort of the response from those leaders was, we're going to kind of break things up and make things regional, right? And so we've on this podcast, we've talked about Render West Coast, which John is helping to plan. We've talked about, I think, obviously down in Texas, they're still doing their Render conference as well. For us here in the Midwest, Brady, you and I have been part of a planning team that's planning the CHC Midwest gathering. And it's kind of we're kind of mirroring the Houston gathering last May, and kind of want to do some of the same things there. But I want to get your perspective on this. What's the value of connecting with other CHC pastors and leaders? Why do you feel like something like a CHC Midwest would be so valuable?
Being at the Houston conference, just to hear the stories that some of the pastors were sharing, because again, it was more about just sharing a lot of their stories. And again, many of them had been ministry for quite some time. So when I didn't know what to expect going to Houston, but when I joined and I was able to hear some of their backgrounds and some of their stories, some of the things that they've been through with their churches, I could relate with several of the stories. So I felt so like it was just a shared experience. And then I do remember at the end of the conference, do you guys remember all of us, they invited anyone to share, like, hey, anyone who wants to share, they invite us to come into small groups and share, like, what have you gained? What have you learned? What have you, how have you been encouraged? And then they asked, does anyone want to share? They brought the small groups back together. And like, anyone want to share, what you've pulled out, what God, how God's spoken to you? Or, and one of the pastors stood up and just said, I just feel like I'm not alone. And that really rung true with me. I mean, like it was so encouraging to hear the stories, to talk with others who, because the English ministry, youth ministry at a Chinese heritage church, it is a niche kind of ministry. And so to have other brothers and sisters there who had the same experiences, similar ministry contexts, similar backgrounds, similar experiences, very encouraging. I just felt like, he's right. We're not alone. We can really encourage each other and spur one another on, share each other's burdens. And again, Jalen, I was able, one of the like moving forward, one of the things that Justin Young, who's also organizing this Chinese Heritage Church Midwest Conference with us, he invited pastors to join together for some prayer groups. And so again, every week, I meet with Justin and another brother, Corey, sorry, another brother, Alex, who's out in California. And we just, we pray together and share. And so it's been really encouraging. I do connect with other pastors in this area, because I really want to. I think it's helpful. But these brothers serve in a Chinese Heritage Church like I do. And so we share common language, common experiences, so we know how to pray for each other.
Yeah, so I think for the sake of our listeners, especially the ones who are in the Midwestern region, which I'm not quite sure where you guys are holding it, or I think I maybe remember it's maybe in Indiana at Justin's church. But what are some of the details for people who are like within driving distance? They want to check that out. I guess they could fly in too, right? Like if they really wanted to, but I imagine that a lot of folks will be just driving in from the Midwest. What are some of the details for this gathering coming up?
I've got it pulled up here, so I'll just read this off if that's cool. And then whatever I
Perfect.
miss, Brady, you jump in.
For
So
sure.
it's April 30th to May 2nd, and it's Tuesday to Thursday. So April 30th to May 2nd. And again, we try to do it in the middle of the week, so it gives people a chance to, get back home for weekend, obviously ministry stuff. But it's in Indianapolis. It's at Justin Young's church. I think it's ooh, what's the name of the church, Brady?
I think it's Indie Chinese Church.
Okay, that
At least
sounds
that's
right.
their website.
Okay,
Indie Chinese
perfect.
Church. Yeah.
Registration is $90, and early registration ends on March 31st. So there's still some time, about a month before that ends, and then price goes up to 120. And oh, it's Chinese Community Church of Indianapolis. So I'm sure if you just Googled Indie Church, that would probably be the one that comes up. But just to clarify, it's Chinese Community Church of Indianapolis. So yeah.
Cool. It's so both of you guys were on the planning team for this, and you've been meeting for some time now. I guess what can people really expect as they go to something like this? I think you had mentioned it was modeled in many ways after the Houston Collective. But maybe not everyone was able to go to Houston. So what could people look forward to? And then also, what are both of you guys like hoping people will really take away from that? So maybe I'll just start with we'll start with Brady. You can tell us more of maybe what's going to be happening and then what you're hoping others will walk away from, besides the good stuff you've already shared that, I think that you have experience with the relational aspect of doing ministry together, which I think is actually super important and should not be overlooked. But what are some other things maybe people can look forward to? And then I'll ask, or Jalen, you can jump in after that.
Yeah, sure. I think the number one thing is connection. When I was at the Houston gathering, I felt like it really focused on like let's just do a lot of shared experiences and connection. So it was less, a little bit less focused on teaching or preaching, but more on let's just share with each other because we have lots of areas where we're really focusing on the teaching and preaching aspect, but this would be more on shared experiences, encouraging one another. So I hope when people walk away, when they come away, I hope that they're encouraged. I hope, again, just like I'd shared my experiences, it was so valuable to me that people feel as though they're not doing this alone, they're not walking alone. And I know, again, some of the things that we'll be touching on will be, I know one of the sessions is focusing on why we were called to a Chinese heritage church, which is a good reminder. It's a very good reminder, like, hey, how did you get here? How did God lead you here? I know I feel like Justin will be talking about some of the victories of this past year. Like, share some of your victories. How have you seen God work? Again, good to celebrate with each other. Good to learn from each other. Because I will lean in and listen and go, what is God doing? And what are some of those victories? Because it encourages me when I hear victories. And it maybe spurs me on to like bringing it back to my own church. I think the one thing that I want people to take away is just to be encouraged to keep on going, just to remain faithful, to keep on going, to be encouraged to like keep going, because I know there can be a lot of ups and downs. Since being at OCC, I've and you guys too, I'm certain you guys have experienced so many ups and downs. So I just want the brothers and sisters to be encouraged to continue on, to keep on going, to remain faithful to their calling. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's so valuable, actually. That's something that I've also been wrestling with, because I think it's a topic that especially, yeah, like you said, pastors really need to, ministry workers, not just pastors, ministry workers also really need to, really wrestle with just this idea of resilience, I think, and navigating some of these highs and lows, and sometimes, you think you're going in one direction, and the Lord kind of brings a more meandering path in front of you, and how do you really stay faithful to what God has called you to. So yeah, I know Jalen has invited me to stick around in the Midwest, because I'm actually going to be in the area right before the conference. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to swing it the extra few days to join you guys, but it's definitely something I'm thinking about. But what about for you, Jalen? What are you hoping people will kind of take away or walk away from that gathering with?
Yeah, I think very similar to Brady, not just connecting and that sense of encouragement. The word for me is just to be energized, right? And probably similar to what you were saying, Brady, coming away from that time, feeling like there was a bit of rest because you're just kind of with other fellow workers in the ministry. but then really like energized and inspired to say like God is using us in this context, right? And God is at work in the Chinese Heritage Church, and here are the stories of how God is working in our different ministries and how God can work and wants to work, and for us to go back and say yes, like I, you know, Lord, continue to use me, right? As much as I've maybe faced hurdles, as much as I've faced some difficulty, I want to go back and pour my life out for the Lord again and again, right? And to serve these people who sometimes are very difficult to serve, sometimes very difficult to love. Other times it's so joyful to see fruit in their lives and to say, yes, Lord, I want to keep doing what you've called me to do here in this context. And I think that those sort of stories, as we share them, as we get around other brothers and sisters to hear those things, will energize us to say, yeah, I want to get back into it and stay with it. And so, yeah, I mean, the same idea that Brady is already sharing, you know, just to be encouraged, to be energized, to be reminded again that God is at work and we get to be a part of that. Like, what a joy, right? And I think just being reminded of our calling is super huge. And then just to be reminded that God is wanting to use us people who are, you know, flawed and insufficient and sometimes discouraged and sad, but God still uses us. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the element of just being able to talk through experiences or share stories, and you know, I think like both of you have mentioned, realizing we're not alone in this, that there's other people who are kind of we're running in the same direction, and sometimes it feels like, man, I'm the only one out here, or you look around and you're like, where is everybody? And so gatherings like this really kind of remind us of how God is sending people into the field to for the harvest, and we're just called to continue to do that. I mean, I really think that these are gifts in some ways that the Lord gives us to remind us of the relationship we have in serving together, and that's what can really develop this sustained faithfulness, is that we're not running alone, but we're running in community. I was wondering for both of you guys, were there particular topics or, you know, like sessions or topics that you were looking forward to because of that shared relational experience sharing aspect to this gathering or to this conference? Were there particular topics that you're looking forward to, like picking other people's brains on or hearing stories from their churches or their contexts? Maybe we'll go with Jalen first and then.
Yeah, I think so. Brady mentioned that we've got a brother, Corey, who's going to be sharing, and he's going to be leading a session on answering the call, right? What was his calling into ministry, and giving people a chance to share their stories around the table. That's something that obviously we try to do here on this podcast, and I think that'll just kind of be like amplified during that time. I get to hear a lot of stories, and selfishly maybe get a few people to sign up for the podcast that we can do some interviews with, right, John? And so that's one session I'm looking forward to. Yeah, I think also, you know, Brady's going to be, I don't want to spoil it, but Brady's going to be sharing about some questions that might be like forbidden, or questions that we might not be able to ask with people in our own church, but just getting around other ministry leaders and pastors, like being able to ask these sort of questions. And yeah, I think recognizing that this would be a safe space to do that, that's what I'm looking forward to, because I think inherent in that sort of like asking those sort of questions breeds a sense of fellowship and closeness that I think as we've been talking about, that's what we long for, right? As we're in this ministry context. So those are some things I'm looking forward to.
Brady, what about for you?
Yeah, the one on the session on wins, like I had shared before, I'm looking forward to the one on wins because I love hearing testimonies about transform lives or you know, reconciliation, forgiveness. I love hearing stories about wins. And it'll be, I imagine it'll be a wide variety of different kinds of wins. And the other session is the one that Jalen just mentioned, the one I'm facilitating. I'm really curious And I do feel like it's a great place since we're all in the same boat that we can share some of the things on our hearts. It's like, oh, I would love to bring this up to. I'm not sure I want to bring this up to the church, like, or maybe to the leadership, but I just need to like say it out loud, and I feel like it's a great place to do it just for people to listen. Or maybe they're thinking some of the same things. So it is a safe place for people to share. Just go, yeah, share.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
definitely looking forward to it, and I think it'll be just a really sweet time, a really great time together. So, just again, for people who are interested, you can register at ChineseHeritageChurch.com/Midwest2024. You can also email info@ChineseHeritageChurch.com and get more information that way. But early registration ends on March 31st, so have a couple weeks to get that in order. It's April 30th to May 2nd. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great opportunity for us to be encouraged and to attend that. So if you're listening and you're interested, please go check that out. But Brady, we always end our podcast with a last question, and that is, what is one piece of advice or encouragement you would give to someone who is currently serving in the Chinese Heritage Church?
Yeah. For me, for me and my wife, I think one of the things that's very much helped us when we've gone through the down times is I remind myself, and sometimes my wife will remind me, or I will remind her of our calling. Because I feel as though emotions will definitely go high and low. And I mean, there's days when I've had fear or been scared or been really down, like really down. But then I tell the Lord, I'm like, you're gonna have to let me know if there's a different calling. You're gonna have to really. So I'll go back because you guys, brothers, it was just so clear for both Sarah and I, my wife and I. It was crystal clear that God had called us to this church. I mean, I can't have a more clear calling for, and it was cool because again, it was both, we both sensed the calling. So it wasn't just like me pulling my wife. It was like, oh, we both prayed and we both felt called to this church. So during those times when just those down times, my one piece of advice would be to go back to the original calling and bring that to the Lord. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good word, Brady. Thank you so much for sharing that and sharing just from your story and your time today. I know that you had a very full day today of ministry, and so we appreciate you just being on the podcast with us and praying that gathering in Indy will be just a fruitful one for both of you guys as you gather with other folks who do what we do, serve in the Chinese Heritage Church. So thanks again for coming on with us tonight.
Yeah, brothers, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Brady.
That's the end of our episode. Thanks for joining us today on the Bamboo Pastors Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the pod on whatever platform you listen to us on. Rate and review us, and check in every week as we explore the joys and challenges of ministry in the Chinese church. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Bamboo Pastors. See you next time.